Faith by hearing. Faith comes by hearing what the Word says and believing it. We receive miracles by the hearing of faith, by believing the promises we see and hear. Galatians 3:2 says, "This only, listen, I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? How did you receive the Spirit of God? How were you born again? How did you receive the salvation message? You received it by hearing it and believing it, and when you believed it and acted on it by inviting Christ in your life, you were saved, born again, which is the greatest miracle of all. But all miracles happen the same way. Hearing and believing God's word is the way we receive from God. He set it up that way, and I can't change it. I can only cooperate with it. We receive blessing and benefits by believing what we hear, not by keeping rules. In high school, the Lord gave me Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. The Amplified Bible says, empowers me. So I can do all things through Christ who empowers me and enables me. Through His power, I can do it, and I can do it better than anybody else. I read this in a book, The Power of Positive Thinking by Norman Vincent Peale. But the Holy Spirit quickened it to my heart. It is a scripture, and the Lord spoke it to my heart. By believing this promise, this word, by hearing and believing, by the hearing of faith, by believing this promise enough to act on it, I was enabled to get through high school and college and even seminary. I graduated from college and seminary with good grades and with no doubt, because I believed this word, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. My father said, I will not help pay your college. I've got 8 kids. I can't send them all to college, so I'm not sending you. But I believe this. I believed I could do it. And God didn't rain money down out of heaven, but He always helped me to find a good job. And I'd work full-time in the summer and work part-time jobs throughout the year. God always gave me a good job that fit. I was able to do it primarily because I was walking around saying, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. By standing on this word, I was enabled to always get a good job. I still believe it. I still speak it. And I still act on it with great confidence. Why? The Word of God never wears out. It's spirit and life. And it still produces miracles, faith, and confidence inside me right now. Romans chapter 10, verse 16. I'm talking to you about the hearing of faith. You hear a word and you believe it enough to act on it. Romans chapter 10, verse 16. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? You have to believe the report of God. You have to believe the message of the Word of God. You have to believe the Bible, the Word. Amen. Many do not believe God's Word, God's message, God's report. They prefer to believe what somebody comes up with rather than believing the Bible. This guy believes the Bible because it's always worked for me. We must believe His report or His message. Verse 17, so then faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. You're not going to build your faith by gritting your teeth. You're going to build your faith by doing what the Word of God says do. Meditate therein day and night. That's the way you build your faith. If you're praying for healing, you get you some good healing scriptures. You memorize as many as you can, and then you walk around quoting them all day, meditating on those scriptures, and they will heal you because Jesus said, my word is spirit and life. Paul tells us how to believe, how to build our faith. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. When we focus on the Word, it speaks to us. When the Word speaks, it produces faith. When it produces faith, we must believe it and act on it. Romans chapter 10, verse 14. And how shall they hear without a preacher? Faith often comes through the message your pastor is preaching. And that's why one reason he'd be in church every Sunday. If you got a preacher that's reading the Bible and preaching the Word of God every Sunday, you need to be there to hear it, because the preached Word can produce things uniquely in your life. God has ordained preaching, and not something I came up with. But you're still commanded to meditate in that Word day and night. I can give you all kind of good scriptures and verify them. That's one reason I give you so many scriptures. You can take one scripture and twist it to mean anything. But if you got 10 scriptures on healing, I mean, hey, you can't twist all 10 of them. And that's, I feel like the Lord has led me to do that, so you can leave saying, boy, this is in the Bible. Amen. Amen. This is in the Bible. You need to be in church every Sunday to hear the Word. You need to meditate in it day and night. You need to read and study it for yourself. But when you do get a Word, you need to believe it and act on it. I was praying for direction about pastoring a church, and I read a Word off the wall in the kindergarten classroom, you know, at Evangel in Louisville, Kentucky. I was walking around praying. I'd been an associate pastor a long time, and I began to feel like God really wanted me to pastor church. So I'm in the back room back there where they have a kindergarten class, or did have a kindergarten class. And I was walking, oh, God, show me what to do. Give me a Word. Give me a revelation. Let me know what to do. And it wasn't a very big room, so I just walked up the wall, and I was standing there praying, and I opened my eyes. This scripture, the kindergarten teacher had put it on the wall, and it said, arise, shine, for the light is come, for the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. And all of a sudden, I knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that I was called to rise and shine by pastoring a church. And then I took my first church in Lexington and made all my mistakes there, and then I had the faith from that scripture to come and start this church and pastor this church. It came from hearing a faith. A Word built my faith. But I prayed until I got the Word. And that's what a lot of us don't do. That's Isaiah 60 verse 1. Arise, shine, for the light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. You see, this hearing, a reading of the Word, produced the faith I needed to step out and believe that I could pastor a church. Galatians 3:5, therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Now, that spells it out. How does God work miracles in our lives? By us being good? No, by the hearing of faith. That means you have a part to play. That means you need to get in the Word of God. That means you really need to be in a good church where the Word is being preached and not the preacher just telling football stories or whatever. You need to have the Word of God. Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you. How does he do it? How does he work those miracles? Does he do it by the works of the law, by being good, by going to church, turning over a new leaf? Start drinking tea instead of coffee? That's a joke, because I'm not giving up my coffee. Or by the hearing of faith. How's he do it? The hearing of faith. Hearing what? The Word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Come on. Y'all still there? I'm giving you some real keys here. But the problem is, some of us, we make all these excuses why we can't really study the Word, meditate on the Word, and, oh, I just don't have time. Do you have time to spend a week or two in the hospital? Faith can really keep you out of the hospital. It can get you healed. And if you do wind up in the hospital, it can get you healed and cut your stay shorter, or cut it short. You see, we receive the Spirit of the Lord and His miracles by hearing and believing what we hear. It's not just enough to hear these scriptures today. You got to believe them. And you have to believe them enough to act on them. God works miracles by the hearing of faith. The word basically says God works miracles among you because you believe what you hear, or you believe what you have heard. He gives you a word and you believe it. The hearing of faith can be a report, a no-so word, a revelation, a dream, or vision. The Lord has his own way of getting his special word to you, but then you believe it and act on it, and doesn't matter if circumstances are lining up or not. You're going to believe it no matter what. When you get a word, the devil always come to challenge you and tell you this is not going to work. We receive victories and miracles by believing what we hear from the Word of God, and what we hear from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit anointing reveals to us what we need to know. It verifies the will of God. When the Holy Spirit speaks to you, or you read it in the Word of God, the Holy Spirit bears witness with your spirit that is the will of God. He verifies it in you. You know inside of you, man, this is real. That is your word. That is your faith, and you will not let it go. The Holy Spirit anointing reveals to us what we need to know. First John 2:20. Look at this. This is really fantastic. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. You see, I have a knower in me. It's the Holy Spirit. Now, it doesn't mean I'm a know-it-all and I actually know everything, but he reveals to me what I need to know when I need to know it, if I'm in tune with him and I'm in his word. For God to speak to me, I need to be in the word. When I'm praying, that's me talking to God. When I'm reading the word, that's God talking to me. You can't separate the two. Prayer and the word. Meditate therein day and night. The Holy Spirit anoints. The Holy Spirit anointing gives me the ability to know what I need to know. The anointing gives us insight into the things of God. Verse 27, listen. But the anointing which you have received from him abides in you. The anointing, that's the Holy Spirit. The quickening power of the Holy Spirit, the anointing of the Holy Spirit dwells in you. And if you'll get in the Word of God, he'll quicken that word to you and build your faith, and he'll speak to you and talk to you about your personal things as well. But the anointing which you have received from him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you. That anointing, the Holy Spirit in you, is your teacher. Now, that doesn't mean he won't use preachers and he won't use teachers. He does, but the Holy Spirit is the teacher. If what I'm teaching is right and it's really in the Word of God today, it's not me teaching it. It's the Holy Spirit. Amen. And too many people are looking for an eloquent orator to make them feel good. You need the Word of God. And you do not need, it says, and you do not need that anyone teach you, but as the same anointing, the Holy Spirit anointing, teaches you concerning all things. And Jesus said the Holy Spirit, when he comes, will teach you all things, bring all things to your remembrance, guide you in all truth, and show you things to come. So you need to be aware of that anointing, and you need to keep the Holy Spirit stirred up in you by praying in the prayer language, by meditating on his word, because it's spirit and life. Keep that anointing all stirred up, and boy, when you need something, you will have it, and you'll know it. You'll know what you need to know. I'm just reading the Bible's way it says. See, that's the problem. You read the Bible to people and say, well, I don't know about that. Well, I know about it. It's true where it works for me or not. It's still true. And I've heard some people say, well, that preacher, he preaches the word, but he doesn't live it. But the word's still true where he lives it or not. But as the same anointing, the Holy Spirit anointing in you, teaches you concerning all things and is true and is not a lie. And just as it has taught you, you will abide in him. If you're going to walk in the wisdom and the knowledge of God and walk in faith, the Holy Spirit has to abide in you. And Jesus said, if you abide in me, my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will. If you're full of the Word of God, then you're going to pray your prayers in line with the Word of God, and he will answer. The Holy Spirit teaches us and reveals things to us. The Holy Spirit reveals truth from his textbook. What is the Holy Spirit's textbook? What book did he write? The Bible. Says he inspired the Bible. This Holy Spirit reveals truth from his textbook, the Bible. And so when you're talking to God, that's a good thing. But if you want him to reveal things to you and talk to you, you've got to be in the Word of God, at least meditating on scriptures that apply to your situation. If you're having financial issues, dig out the promises from the Word of God about financial blessing and meditate on them, because there's life and health in those scriptures. Amen. The Holy Spirit reveals truth about salvation, deliverance, miracles, and healing. And the Holy Spirit anointing in us verifies to our inner man that it is true. What I'm preaching today, I have a verification from the Holy Spirit many times over inside of me. It's true, and it works for me. I feel obligated by the Word of God and by the Lord Jesus Christ to live this healing and miracle lifestyle so everyone can see it works. Amen. This is where faith comes from, is the Word of God. It's a hearing by faith. That Word of God starts talking to it. It becomes your faith. It becomes your revelation. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That comes 100% from the Holy Spirit. I have no faith except this, what the Holy Spirit drops in me. I had the faith, and I had the faith to come and start this church because the Holy Spirit dropped it in us. And then we prayed through. The Lord spoke to me in the bedroom, but I didn't come until I prayed through and I got a scripture on it. That scripture still lives in me and keeps me going to this day. It's real. It's alive. We must pray through to this anointing and keep our ears tuned to heaven. And the examples I like to use is normally just stories in the Bible. And then my personal stories, what God has done for me and Dottie, my family, and what he's done for this church and for many of you. Mark 5:27. This is the lady with the issue of blood. Now look how the Holy Spirit worked. And I'm tying it, I've preached this many times, but I'm tying it specifically to this message, the hearing of faith. She had heard the reports, it says here in Matthew 5:27. She had heard the reports. She had heard the messages about Jesus Christ. What did she hear? Evidently she heard that everyone that touched him were healed. Because the Gospels say more than once, several times, that they would lay people in the street. And everyone that reached out and touched him as they went by, they were healed. And why do I believe that's the message she heard? Because that's what she was saying. If I can but touch him, I'll be healed. So when she heard that, the Holy Spirit quickened it to her heart, and it became faith. How do I know that? Because she was speaking it out her mouth. Now the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And also Jesus said, woman, your faith has healed you. Faith. Now look at this. This is so important. It's important that you understand it. She had heard the reports concerning Jesus, the message about Jesus, and she came up behind him in the throng, in the crowd, and touched his garment. Verse 28, for she kept saying, there it is, out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. You can't go around speaking faith unless you get the Word of God in you. And then the way you speak it, you speak scripture. The Lord's the strength of my life. I don't care how tired I feel. I don't sit around and complain about being tired. I said, with his stripes, I'm healed. Eventually, I got to take a nap. But I need to take care of myself. But the Lord has strengthened my life. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me and enables me. Now, thanks be unto God, which always causes me to win, always causes me to have the victory. For she kept saying, if I only touch his garment, I shall be restored to health. What does restored mean? It means to be restored like new. My brother helped me, well, I watched him rebuild a 1955 Pontiac. He restored it better than new. And really that's what restore means. God wants to restore you as good as new or better than new. out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. She heard the word, believed the word, spoke the word, and acted on the word. She just sat back and wait for Jesus to show up. She went out looking for him. And she found him. But she couldn't get to him. She surrounded. He was surrounded by all these big, ugly men. Some of them big, old, ugly fishermen. And they were crowded all around him so much that no one could get to him. And Peter said that, you asked who touched you. Everybody's touching you. What are you talking about? Well, so when this woman saw that crowd, she would not stop. Now, she had to be weak. She'd been sick for years. And modern medicine is very different from the medicine they had. And so she managed to get through those men, this weak little lady, and touch the hem of his garment. And listen, it was the Holy Spirit that quickened that message to her heart. If I can but touch him, I'll be healed. She had the faith to believe it and to speak it and to act on it. And when she acted on it and touched the hem of his garment, the Holy Spirit that put the faith in her responded, and she was healed. And Jesus didn't even know she was there. He turned and said, "Who touched me?" And that's when Peter said, "Something wrong with you. Yay, everybody's touching you." But this touch was different. It was a touch of faith. If I can but touch him. And, you know, we could go around saying that too, if I can but touch him. But that's not the point. The point is she had faith and she spoke it. My faith about healing basically is very short. And I use it like because it's easy to remember. With his stripes, I'm healed. Devil tried to put something on. And several times he tried to shut me up. One of them, I said, "Devil, get out of here. With his stripes, I'm healed. Get out of here." Amen. For she kept saying, "If I only touch his garment," she kept saying her faith. And immediately, verse 29, immediately her flow of blood was dried up at the source, and suddenly she felt in her body that she was healed. There you have it. When she believed it and she acted on it and she touched him, the Holy Spirit verified it to her that she was healed because she felt it in her body. Once you feel that verification of healing in you, no matter how bad it looks still, after that you believe it because the Holy Spirit has touched you and he has verified it and you will not let it go. Amen. How do I know that? That's the way I'm able to walk in victory and have a measure of victory. I get hit like everybody else, but I've learned how to hit back. And how do you hit back? The sword of the Spirit. It is written, "With his stripes, I'm healed." Y'all paying attention? Y'all still here? Y'all taking any notes? Some of these days, I'm planning on writing all this up in a little book so you can just take it with you. But the way it's going right now, they're going to put on my tombstone, "Here lies a good book." It never got written. Let me all pray for me that I do what God wants me to do. Because she believed the report she heard, she had great faith. When she had faith for healing and acted on it, the power for healing was released. But she had to believe it enough to act on it. And years ago, one Sunday morning, I could not speak above a whisper when it was over there. It's been many, many years ago. And I had to have the faith to believe this. And so I walked out there and to preach, and all I could say was, "Y'all stand up and pray for me." Seriously. But I had to believe this enough to walk out there. And the people stood up and they prayed, sat back down, and I started preaching in a whisper. In just a few minutes, I was yelling at them to the top of my lungs because God healed me right in front of them. And many of you have seen that in a smaller way, but God totally healed me. And I learned that you got to step out there. Amen. How many know Jason Crabb? How many know who he is? You ever heard him sing? Someday when I get to heaven, I'm going to be able to sing like that. But not until. He was at Dove Awards or something. He had some kind of strep throat or something and totally lost his voice. He said, "I'm going to sing." So he walked up the mic knowing he could not sing one note. And when they hit the note, he started singing with a clear voice. Everybody's amazed how good he sounded. Seconds before, he couldn't talk. You get a word, you believe it enough that you're willing to even embarrass yourself. Amen. The Holy Spirit responded to her faith before Jesus knew she was there. Well, Jesus healed her. He didn't even know she was there. He didn't heal her. The Holy Spirit that dropped that message in her heart responded to it when she acted on it. Do you act on your faith? Do you believe that God has given you a good job? Are you out looking for it? Do you believe He's called you to a career? Are you studying various things and asking God to show you what your career should be? If you believe it, I believe you will have to act on it. The big question is, where did her faith come from? The hearing of faith, that's where it came from. She heard a message, she believed it and acted on it. The Holy Spirit gave her the report. She believed it, spoke it, and acted on it. This is what I've been trying to say, and I'm using this as an example. The Holy Spirit is the teacher, the revelator, the anointing. When she responded in faith to the word she had, the Holy Spirit responded to her faith by healing her, but she had to act on it first. She wasn't healed until she acted on it, was she? The secret, the hearing of faith, she heard a word and believed it. That's the secret that the devil wants to keep from you. You hear that word and you believe it and you act on it. The word says by the hearing of faith, by the hearing of faith. Can you believe the word of God? Can you believe that little short scripture, with His stripes I am healed? It says we, but I make it personal. And Peter said it stronger than that. He said, with His stripes ye were healed. In other words, on Calvary, we've already been healed. And the way we access that provision is by faith. It's a done deal. It's done. But we cannot receive it except by faith. The Word of God says, and I've read this and preached this many times, through Him we have access by faith into His provisions. We have access through faith by believing it into His grace, which is God's provisions. We must believe the Word and the Holy Spirit revelation without doubting. We must hear and believe. 2 Corinthians, y'all pray for me. Do y'all believe that God works miracles? Do you think He can make a preacher preach faster and shorter? Okay, let's see if we can believe that. Okay. 2 Corinthians 5:7. We live by faith, not by physical sight. The hearing of faith is the word we hear by Holy Spirit revelation or anointing. And if one of these scriptures grabs you, that's what I'm talking about. That's that revelation. It becomes a scripture, and you grab it and you go home and you memorize that. Well, I can't memorize. You can memorize scripture. God will help you. This is the word we live by. Mark 9:23. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. When we hear the word and believe it, all things become possible. When the word speaks to us, we must believe it without one negative thought. The devil bring every kind of crazy thought he can to your head, trying to prove you it's not possible, and you have to shut that down by bringing every thought captive. Believe it, speak it, and act on it. Matthew 14:28. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And here's another example straight from the Bible. And tied to that one thing, the hearing of faith. And he said, come. Jesus said to Peter, come. So he had his word. He believed it. Jesus said it. If he says I can come on water, I'm going to get out on the water. He stepped out on the water and he's walking just fine on water. He said, come. And when, Jesus walking on water because he was God. If that's true, then Peter was God. No, the Bible says that Jesus Christ lived as a man. He operated by faith just like we do. Amen. He even said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. and to heal the brokenhearted. He was operating as a man, anointed by the Holy Spirit. And that's why Jesus said, the works that I do, you shall do, because we have the same Holy Spirit he had, and that same Holy Spirit will anoint us to do the works that Jesus did. Amen. Doesn't matter if you believe it or not. I believe it. That's why I have the benefits of it. If you don't believe it, it doesn't matter to you, because you'll not have the benefits of it. You access the blessings and the benefits and the provisions of Christ by believing them. You access them by faith. Verse 29, and he said, come. And when Peter was come down, listen. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Peter had a word, believed the word, then doubted the word and sank. And boy, have I done that more than once. Verse 30, but when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. He did great until he got his eye focused on the problem. Warning, warning, warning. Do not fix your eye on the problem. Fix your eye on the promise, the word. Amen. Your faith, your no-so revelation, fix on that. And he cried out for the Lord to save him, and he did. So don't be afraid to step out in faith. Even if you mess up and sink, the Lord will pull you out if you call on him. Amen. I've been pulled out so many times I can't even remember. I can preach it really good, and it's right and accurate. But when I get caught in a storm or face a giant, a great big mountain or a giant, I have a tendency to fall apart like everybody else, and I got to gather up myself and get back together and get back on my promise. Peter believed he could walk on water because he believed what he heard. Come. Peter experienced a great miracle until he focused on the storm or his doubts. And when he did, he began to sink. Stay focused on the word that God is quickening to your heart. You see, this is the same Peter that went on the roof to pray. I'll show you the difference here. He learned how to operate by the hearing of faith. Amen. He saw a vessel come down out of heaven, Acts chapter 10, verse 12, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air. Verse 13, and there came a voice to him, rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common unclean. He was a good Jew. He lived by the legalism of the old law until he got saved, gave his life to the Lord Jesus by the Spirit. Verse 15, and the voice spake unto him again the second time, what God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. Verse 19, I can stop and preach on three or four things right there, but I'm going to have a hard time just getting this message finished. Verse 19, the Spirit said unto him, behold, three men seek thee. While he's on the roof praying, God brings down these unclean animals. He says, rise and kill and eat. And Peter says, not so. I've never eaten anything common and unclean. And the Lord says, don't you call anything common and unclean that I've cleansed. He was showing Peter that he was about to bring the Gentiles, which is us, into the church. Verse 19, the Spirit said unto him, behold, three men seek thee. Verse 20, arise therefore and get thee down and go with them, doubting nothing. And he saw what he meant when he got to the door. Arise therefore and send and get thee down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. When he got to the door, it was Gentiles, and by law he was not allowed to go with them. That's what I meant when I said he did live by the law, but right now he wasn't. He went with them. Why? He had a revelation, no so word from God. And he went doubting nothing. I mean, he could have been in real trouble with the other apostles because he was doing something that was forbidden by the law. But my Bible, Jesus said the law and the prophets were until John. People say, oh, you got to keep the law. Jesus said the law and the prophets were until John. And then he says, since then, the good news of the gospel has been preached, and every man presses into it. And so we do not keep the Old Testament law because Jesus Christ fulfilled it, but we get to keep all the promises. Because the promises were made to the people of God, and we are now the people of God under a new covenant, but we're still the people of God. In Acts chapter 11, verse 12, Peter reported to the apostles in Jerusalem. I mean, they really got upset and said, what do you think you're doing? After running and hanging out with those Gentiles? And the Spirit, here's what he said, and the Spirit bade me go with them, nothing doubting. He told me to go with nothing doubting because he knew some of you are going to get upset. And I went not doubting because I know God's going to take care of it. And when I got there, they received the Holy Spirit. I heard them speaking in tongues just like we did. And we baptized them in water. We baptized them as Christians. And they were saying, what in the world have you done? But when they heard his explanation, they said, well, okay. God has brought the Gentiles into the church. Amen. If you don't think that's important, look around this room. For I said, no, every one of us is a Gentile. Because a man acted on the hearing of the word, what he heard. He didn't make it up. The Holy Spirit spoke it to him. The Holy Spirit spoke to me and daughter, come here and start this church. And we prayed until we knew it was God, and here we are. You see, you have to believe it. You have a word. You just don't do stuff. You hear a word and you act on it. Every now and then people say, oh, Pastor, this would be a good idea. I don't do a good ideas. I said, I do not do good ideas. I do what the Holy Spirit tells me to do. And I never use that as an excuse just not to do something. People tell you, well, God told me not to do it. I mean, a lot of times they're just saying that. And that's really a sin. It's a lie. If God didn't tell you to do it. But, buddy, I found out when I do a good idea, very often I get in trouble. But when I do the word of God, he's obligated to take care of me. Even if I start sinking, if I'm out there trying to do what he told me to do, he's going to pull me out. Amen. The Lord told Peter to go without doubting. Peter believed what he heard the Holy Spirit say, and he went without doubting. We receive by the hearing of faith and not doubting. Believe what you're hearing from the Holy Spirit and from the Word of God. Peter did not sink this time because he went without any doubt. He would not allow any doubt. Even though he's doing something he knew according to the law was wrong. But he had heard from God. But you read Jesus. He said it in two different places in the Gospels. The law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the good news of the gospel has been preached, and everyone has forced his way into it. And Jesus Christ did not operate under the law. He did not forgive sin by animal sacrifice. He was the grace of God, and he forgave sin because he was God, and he was operating under grace. It says he was the grace of God. People want to force various things on you. Well, you got to keep the Saturday. No, the apostles changed the Sabbath for the Christians to Sunday. You still need to keep it. But it's not part of the legalism of the law. And the Bible actually says there are no holy days. But you do need to keep a Sabbath. Sabbath is not a holy day. Sabbath is a day of rest, which I almost never take. But you're supposed to. And, of course, Sunday's a day of rest for me because even though it's probably the hardest day of the week for me, under the anointing, it brings a refreshing. Y'all sitting here listening to me preach is good for me. Thank you for being here so I can bless me. And the Holy Spirit can bless me, but hopefully this word's blessing you. Peter did not sink this time because he went doubting nothing. I felt like the Lord put that together and told me to show you that when he looked at the problem and doubted, he sank. But when he went doubting nothing, he was successful. And he won these people to Jesus Christ. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. He had them baptized in water. And that's how the Gentiles got into the church. Peter did not sink this time because he went doubting nothing. The Lord saved the Gentiles and brought them into the church. Gentiles It's we, it's us. It's, okay. We're the Gentiles. This is some of the things I've received from the Lord, insights into faith, insights into the Word of God. And if we'll get a word from God, get in the Word of God, get that anointing, let that anointing begin to teach us and lead us and guide us, then we can walk in victory, walk in faith. Let's all stand.